Man, how's everybody doing tonight? Y'all good? Good to be in the house. Let's just get ready to dive in and prepare to receive from the Lord tonight. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and just ask His blessing on the study and that we would have ears and hearts that would hear what he has to say for us tonight and speak to us tonight. So let's dive in and have a word of prayer right quick. Brother Keith, you want to open up tonight, brother? Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles 15. We're going to continue. We've been doing a study the last couple weeks on honor. The Lord had been kind of pushing me on this in the fourth quarter of 2017, and I didn't know that He was ready timing-wise for us to do a series on it. I've been wanting to teach on honor. And it's just kind of, we just kind of stumbled into it and fell down the rabbit hole. And while we're here, we're going to see what all the Lord has for us in this. As I'm on this this journey of honor and learning how to honor, one thing that I'm finding out is that I thought that I understood honor had a pretty good grasp and practiced it in my life. But what I'm really finding out was I understood honor in theory, and I practiced it on a surface level. And so the Lord is, well, a big prayer in my life right now is, God, teach me how to honor all things the way I'm supposed to, and let me to a point where I can teach others how to honor. And then, you know, the two parts that we were talking about, the three parts that we're talking about in this, is us learning what honor is and learning how to honor. Then the second part was, you know, living a lifestyle of honor. And then the Lord began to carry us and transition us to a place to where we can teach others how to honor. And then the fourth part of this that we're really going to look at, and we won't get there tonight, is honoring for others when either they can't or they're not willing to. And I believe that we can come to a place to where we can honor in the place of other people until they get to the place to where they're ready to do that. An example I used on that is Zeeland, my little grandson. You know, on our farm, we found some, in planting food plots through the years for deer, I found arrowheads. And, you know, which I thought was really cool that I'm finding arrowheads off of our farm. So Indians used to live on our farm. So I'm like, man, that's neat and all that stuff. Well, you know, Zeeland's at this age, my little grandson, where he's just, man, he's all about, you know, Indians and pirates and all of that stuff. And I've got these arrowheads in my office up on a shelf and all that. And I let Zeeland look at these arrowheads. And I explained to him, you know, that Poppy found these on the farm and Indians used to live here and all that stuff. But I don't let Zeeland take them home. Because even though he would think they're cool and all of that, y'all know what's going to happen when a four-year-old gets some arrowheads and takes them home. They're either going to get broke or they're going to get lost. The reason that I hold them in kind of a high value is because I'm honoring the people that lived there before us, the Native Americans. Because they lived there hundreds of years ago. I don't know how old these are, but you had the Creek Indians and the Cherokee Indians in this area and all of that stuff. And so, it, to me, it's a significant thing, and I'm honoring these people that live there. Zeeland just think it's cool because it's an Indian Arrowhead. And he's not at the point of maturity yet to where he can understand how to properly honor the thing that I recognize is needs to be honored in that. And so, at this point, I'm honoring those people for him. I'll show him those arrowheads, but I won't give him control of the arrowheads. All right? Y'all following what I'm saying is on a spiritual sense? Okay? So that we want to get to that place, but that's maybe next Wednesday night. Tonight, the Lord really dropped something in my spirit today as I was meditating on this and the lesson. We were talking about teaching honor, and we're looking at using as an example in this David, and when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And the first time they did not do it right. David had a good heart. You can have a good heart, but you can do it the wrong way, and God won't receive it. Don't think just because you have a good heart that you're going to have access to God and going to be in this place of intimacy, this place where He's going to reveal heaven to you and all of this stuff just because you've got a good heart. There is a right way to approach God. There is a right way to do the kingdom things. And same thing with my wife or anybody that's in any level of relationship. There is a right way for me to approach her. There's a right way for me to interact with her. There's a right way for me to minister to her. And there's a wrong way. She knows I love her through all of it. But sometimes I'm a knucklehead. And when I'm a knucklehead, you know, I do something stupid. I do it the wrong way or something like that. And I want us to learn to do things the right way. I want us to learn to do things in a significant way before God. And when I say that, it's not a thing of us being legalistic and figuring out a formula. But it's a thing of us honoring God and who He is. And if I properly honor Him, then I'm thinking about my approach to Him. I'm thinking about my interaction to Him. I'm thinking about I don't want to say methodology because that's a little too rigid, but y'all kind of get what I'm talking about on this. You know, we can come in. I've heard some ministers come in and say, I've heard Brother Damon talk about this before. He said, if I tell you that, 2 + 2, or if you think 2 + 2 = 5 and 4 + 3, equals 6, and you come and you say that this equals that, but if you don't do the right process, you might get the right answer, but you're going to be wrong in your thinking. You're going to be wrong in the way you got there, okay? If we come in and we say 2 + 2 = 5 and 4 + 3 = 7, and then if you add all those up, it's going to be something different than, I'm sorry, I'm jumbling on that. But I want us to understand the importance of recognizing God for who He is. Recognizing Him is not just a distant supreme being, but yet He's the one that spoke all of this into creation. He's the one that turned darkness into light, and He said, "Let there be light." He's the one that created the universe. He's the one that created us in His image. He's the one that paid our sin debt. He's the one that sits on the throne. So He's in a place where He should be esteemed. He is in a place where He is weighty. Okay, one of the Hebrew words for honor is to put weight to something. It means it's weighty. And when I come in and I make something significant or somebody significant, they carry a weight. We get it a little bit in our approach to people that are famous. And it's kind of amazing to me, but we will put a certain level of honor over somebody that's famous even though they might be an idiot. And they're really not worthy of honor in that sense, but because they're famous, you'll see people, and I mean, we'll go places and we'll run into somebody that might be somebody that's a celebrity or something like that and all that, and you see people just kind of falling all over themselves, and if you're in a restaurant in L.A. or something like that, oh, that's so-and-so, and they want to get their picture and their signature and all that stuff and all that, and we put this sense of, so we understand that. But when we come in and the things that are really worth the wait, the things that are really significant, we don't attach that to it because it's too distant. You know, Lisa said Britney Spears might call ago. You know, if we saw Britney Spears, everybody would be like, oh, and all this stuff. And they would be bestowing a certain level of honor. We do it with athletes. Whether it's a collegiate athlete or a pro athlete or something like that, you know, we go somewhere and all. I mean, several years ago, we built a custom handlebar for Dominique Wilkins. I don't know if y'all know who Dominique Wilkins is, played for the Hawks. I mean, super ball player and all that stuff. But he's not any more significant than Bob Schmuck down the street that bought the same handlebar. But because we built one for Dominique Wilkins, we're like, oh, man, that's cool and that's awesome and all of that stuff and everything. But, you know, as far as a spiritual and a kingdom perspective, there's no difference in honor for this guy or this guy that's over here. And so I want us to understand things that are deserving of the different levels of honor and then putting the proper honor to that. God put something in my spirit today, though, that I really want to focus on. We talked about David and him bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, him honoring God, him teaching the people to honor God. They didn't do it right to start with. He went back, and he's like, man, where did we mess up? And he had to learn the proper way to honor God. And so I want us to talk about that some. But the Lord really dropped something in my spirit that I feel like is significant today, and I think it's just for tonight. That is for us not just honoring somebody or honoring some aspect of God's creation, but I think that we need to recognize and learn to honor the moment, the moments that we're in, and the opportunities that are in front of us. Because I can honor a person but fail to honor or recognize the significance of a moment. Okay? This is huge. Because we go through life and we'll put weight on significant moments. We'll put honor on significant moments. How many of y'all, when y'all plan y'all's vacations, y'all think about it for months and months and months, don't you? You know, it's getting out. If you go somewhere, it's harder to do the spur-of-the-moment trips. You know, you got to book stuff 6 months in advance. I mean, you probably already booked your ski trip for next year, right, Nick? I figured you did, man. That's, you know, because you said you're already going to go to Big Sky and all that, which is cool. But you know what you're doing is you're putting a weightiness on that moment. And you will go out there and you will have a big time for a week or however long y'all were going for. And you're going to have a big time out there. And one reason that you're going to have such a big time out there, obviously it's beautiful, you enjoy doing it and all of that stuff. But you have put an appropriate measure of weight on that moment. We do it with events like, say, a concert or something like this. And we come in and we put a different level of weight on it. We were talking about the ladies' meeting that y'all had a couple Thursday nights ago, and it was phenomenal. I just keep hearing great, great stuff about the ladies' meeting. And I asked Tiffany, I said, did you have a higher expectation level for the ladies' meeting than you did the regular Wednesday night service? And she said, yeah, I did. And I said, why? And she said, because it was all us sisters coming together. All the sisters in Christ were coming together for an evening, for a moment, and there was a high expectation level. And one reason that God showed up in such a mighty way is because y'all put a higher or a heavier weight on that moment. Y'all gave honor to that moment, so what did God do? God responded. Think about it. And we fail to put the proper weight on moments, and we wonder why it doesn't move us. Right? Think about it. It's some good stuff. Same thing with our opportunities. God's like, I want you to begin to honor and recognize the opportunities that are in front of you and see it for what it is and be like, wow, this is a tremendous opportunity, whether it's in business or anything. And come in and put a weight on that, put an honor on that, and when you do it, it's going to open gates, it's going to open doors, and God, we're going to see God move on that. If we would do that when we come in here every Sunday and every Wednesday night, if we would put a level of honor and weight on the fact that we're going to get together and for 50 minutes we're going to study the Word of God, and God's going to change people's lives. If we did that, you know what would happen? That would attract the presence of God, the promises of God, and then you're going to get this collision that's going to take place. I guarantee you. Some of y'all will do it on Friday nights. I mean, even the heathen will do it on Friday nights. They will. I mean, y'all did before y'all knew the Lord. They'll say, whoa, man, I can't wait. You go to any convenience store on a Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, what's guys in there doing? Most of them's got a 12-pack under their arm. You know what they're doing? They're saying, it is Friday night. And so what are they about to do? They're about to go celebrate. It's Friday night, and I've got the weekend coming up. Woo! You know, and all this stuff. What are they doing? They are putting a weight of, if you will, honor on the fact that it's Friday night. And so I'm going to kick back, and I'm going to relax, and I'm going to have... I'm going to let my hair down. I ain't got to get up at 6 in the morning or 4 in the morning or whenever and go to work and all this stuff. And it is our approach to these things. And God really put this in my spirit today, and we're going to talk about this some, is recognizing the moment and recognizing the opportunity and placing a proper level of honor on that thing. I mean, man, I do it all the time, you know. We're going out to the worship conference to Dallas in May, and I'm already sitting there knowing I'm going to get whacked out in the Holy Ghost for 3 days. I already know I am. They ain't struck up the first chord yet. Linda, I know it is going to be amazing. We're going to get just trashed in the presence of the Lord. I'm going up to Greensboro June 7th, you know, and going to go up there with the Helchers. And I guarantee you, I already know that it is going to be an amazing, intimate evening with the Lord. And one reason that it will be is because I've already placed a certain level of honor and weight on that moment, on that opportunity. If we start doing that, you see your grandchildren every day. I'm not saying it becomes common. But if you saw your grandchildren twice a year, think about it. What would you do that twice a year? There would be a, yes, laser focus. There would be a level, there would be a weight of honor that is placed on that moment. Therefore, I guarantee you that moment would be more impactful. It's got the potential to be more impactful because of the weight or honor that we put on that moment. Right? Well, we do. And God wants us to. It's just recognize the right things and put the weight on that. We do it with significant anniversaries. You know, it's Aaliyah and Brett's 10th anniversary. Well, that's more special than the 9th, right? We put more weight on it, don't we? It's mine and Lori's 35th this year. 35, guys. Makes me feel a little bit old. But you know what? I said, man, I got to do something nice for her. Man, this is our 35th wedding anniversary. You know, we got to go to Italy or do something like that. Because it's heavier than 34, right? I see it at the Harley rallies. You know, you go out and if it's the 75th, Brett, how many people were out at Sturgis at the 75th? Couple, it was 2 years ago, wasn't it, when it was the 75th out there? We were out there working. They said there was like 1.2 million people there. The next year was the 76th. You know how many people were there? About 400,000. That's still a lot of people. But it's a third of what was there the year before. Because the 75th was significant. You know, so what they wanted, they did the 95th in Milwaukee several years ago. And there was like 1 million people in Milwaukee that were there for the motorcycle gathering, the big Harley rally and all of that stuff. And what it is we put a level of weight on these significant things. But what gets lost in the by the wayside are the everyday that encounters that can be significant. You know, I don't get huge hung up on birthdays or anniversaries or stuff like that. And my thing, and that's not to get out of stuff because I treat my wife very well. But I would say she's well kept. But, you know, to me, August the 26th should be just as significant as August 27th. The 27th is my anniversary. The 28th is just as significant. All right? I turned 56 last week. I didn't put a big deal. It wasn't no big deal to me. It was just another day of, you know, working all that stuff and all that and everything. And I didn't put a weight on that because every day should be weighty. All of our opportunities and encounters with the Lord should have the potential to be supernatural, should have the potential to be great. And we need to learn to honor the moments and honor the opportunities. One thing I want you guys to really, really, really get and really grasp instead of coming in and on how our approach is on stuff, because we can come in and we can be like, man, this is like purity Hades. You know, I'm going through a doggone program in Waco, Georgia, of all the places in the world. Why couldn't it be somewhere cool like, you know, Pagosa Springs, Colorado, or somewhere like that, man. Durango, man. Put me in Durango. It'd be pretty down there, southern Colorado and all that stuff. But Waco, Georgia, really? And if we're not careful, we won't put any weight of honor on the opportunity, even if it's a hard thing. But if you come in and you put a certain level of honor and weight on the fact that, man, I'm coming into this, and this, I believe this is going to be life-changing for you. Somebody believes it's going to be life-changing for you. Somebody does. Somebody encouraged you to. Somebody has supported you in that. Maybe a judge said, man, you've got to go. And you're like, okay, well, he thought it'd be life-changing for you. Better than the alternative. I mean, let's just be real tonight, right? But if you come in and you say, man, I'm going to put a weight on this, I'm going to put an honor on this, that this is going to change my life, and if your approach is such, you know what it'll do? It'll change your life, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. But if you come in and it's just like, man, I'm just making eight until I can get out of this joint and all this stuff and all that, I'd be willing, it'd probably be a safe bet, 6 months, the time you're out, you're going to be right back in the same shape you were in. Just speaking truth. But when we come in and we put weight on something, we put weight on something. And if it's not worth putting weight on it, then why are we doing it? If it's not worth putting honor on it, why are we doing it? I'll say this to all you guys, man. I've known people and I've had guys that's worked for us through the years and all that stuff. And, you know, for 10 years, it's like, I hate my job. This is awful. And this and this and this and all of that stuff and everything. For 10 years. And I'm like, if it is so bad, then go get another job. If it's not something that I can honor the opportunity and honor the moment, then be in the process of getting an education, be in the process of getting training, be in the process of looking for something else. And I'll say that about every area of your life, guys. And we go through and we say, man, I just don't have stuff in my life that I can honor. Then change your life. If there are things in your life that are not worth honor, then you need to take a hard look at it and say, does it need to be there? I look around at the things in my life, and the majority of things in my life, they're worth putting honor on, Randy. My relationship with Him and my ministry calling and all that, that's certainly worth putting honor on. My family, good golly, that's worth a high level of honor. My career, that's a high level of honor. My job that I do, man, I praise God every morning. You know, it's like, God, thank you for this opportunity. You know what I'm doing? I'm putting a level of honor on it. You still digging your job pretty good. You told me it was sent from God, working at the safe house in Atlanta. Because that's a job / ministry that you got going on over there. As long as you hold it in a high level of honor, it'll never be a weight around your neck. And we need to really look at our lives and say, is my life full of things that are not worth honor? And if my life is full of things that aren't worth honor, then I need to change my life. But if it's full of things that are, the Word says, whatsoever things are righteous and pure and lovely and all of that, to think on these things and dwell on these things, and if that is the stuff that's in my life, you know what I need to do? I need to put the appropriate level of honor on it. Say, man, this is awesome. And what we got is awesome. My family is awesome. And my friends, my church family is awesome. Even the people God's connected me with that I don't even know. You say, what are you talking about? God's connected, man, Bill Johnson's big. Him and Damon are the two biggest spiritual influences in my life, and I've never personally had a sit-down conversation with Bill. I've been around him just a little bit in some teaching settings and worship settings and all that. We're going to fly fish together one day. I'm believing that. Might kill something together one day, too. He likes to kill stuff. But I thank God and I honor that relationship. God's using Irwin McManus to rock my world right now. I honor that relationship. And it is totally, I say it's one-sided. I pray for him and lift him up and edify him and all of that stuff. But it's coming in and putting a certain level of honor on it. You know why so many Christians come in and they get in a dry rut in church life? It's because they stop honoring the church God's planted them in. Come on, let's preach. You stop honoring the church God put you in. You stop honoring what God's doing. You can't celebrate what God's doing in somebody else's life. Right now, I celebrate what God's doing in your life, brother, because I can sit back, even before your wife, she don't have to tell me nothing. I can look in your life and I can tell God's rocking your world right now. And has been for the last few months. And I celebrate that. I celebrate what God's doing in y'all's life right now. It excites me. excites me. I'm like, yes, pour it out, God, pour it out. You know? I'm excited you guys are visiting here with us tonight. Been a while, man, since I've seen you, but I know you love the Lord and all that stuff. I'm excited you guys are here, but because I recognize the potential of God coming in and impacting you. And I pray when y'all go home and y'all go to sleep tonight that God just does all this supernatural downloading into y'all. You're like, oh, man, you wake up tomorrow and you're like, you start looking at things a little different, start thinking about things a little bit different and all that stuff. So I want to put the proper weight on the fact that we're gathering together. Every time you guys are here, I'm bummed out when y'all aren't here. Man, I wish y'all could come on Sunday mornings. I'm about, whoa, when y'all show up on Sunday morning, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be good. Blake House here this morning. I do. I get pumped. Y'all weren't here Wednesday night. Y'all were a little bit late tonight. I walk in, I said, dang, Blake House ain't going to be here tonight. Because I place value and honor and weight on the moments that we have together. And the opportunity that presents for God to come in and to do something in this. And to do something in this. And to do something in this. And so I want us to recognize that. So let's read some text. Are y'all going to think we didn't do any Bible study? I'm not going to read chapter 13 because we've studied chapter 13. Basically, chapter 13 is the story of David coming in and then bringing in the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem the wrong way. Y'all remember we talked about it? They put it on a new cart like the Philistines did. And they drove it with I'm sure they had a mule or something that was pulling the cart. And you had these two guys and they're walking by the cart and all that, doing their thing and everything. And the problem with that is God specifically told them that my presence is going to be carried on the shoulder of my priest. And he said, the priest and the Levites, the ones that are set aside and consecrated, those are the ones that I'm going to use to carry my presence. And that is such a lesson for us because we want to come in and we want to bring the presence of God into the world, the kingdom of heaven into the world through fancy programs and this and this and this. And the way we're going to touch the world is not by coming in and getting the right, and I'll go ahead and say this, it is not by coming in and getting the right government in place, whether you're blue or red. Neither one's the answer. Making abortion illegal, and I hope they make abortion illegal, but making abortion illegal is not the answer. It's changing people's hearts. Stricter gun controls, and I'm not saying we don't need to have some different processes, but that in itself is not the answer. You know what that is? That's a new cart. The thing that is going to change the world is when we, as God's children, start manifesting His presence, releasing the kingdom, and impacting and touching people's lives. So these misguided people, I'll just label it at that, these misguided people are not thinking about who I can hurt, they're thinking about who can I help. Okay? And so God said, my presence is not to be carried on a cart, something that's made by man. My presence must be carried by man. So they totally missed it the first time. David had a good heart, but he didn't get it with the honor thing right to start with. He had to learn how to properly honor God. Because he said, I'm going to honor God the way the Philistines do. Well, the Philistines don't know how to honor God because they were heathens. They didn't have a relationship with Yahweh. And if I don't have a relationship with it, I can't properly honor it. I can't properly honor a homeless person if I don't even look him in the eye and just pitch him a dollar bill and but when I look somebody in the eye and I talk to them and I say, man, you know what? You're a person just like I'm a person. And I genuinely care about where you are and what's happening in your life. That when you start doing that, that's when you're placing a level of honor on them. That's when you're placing a level of honor on them. And so, David got it wrong the first time, but something happened with David. Let's read chapter 14, verse 1. Now, the end of chapter 13, the Ark of God remained at Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and Obed-Edom was blessed. His household was blessed. Verse 1, now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David in timber of cedars with masons and carpenters to build him a house. Verse 2, and David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high. David had a moment in this 3-month span to where he realized, man, God has established me as king. God has placed the nation of Israel. It's what he said when he was making the covenant with Abraham. And we are in a place of favor. We're in a place where we've got God's kiss on our life. I'm in this place where it's almost like an aha moment to where he's like, man, God really has called me and God really has established me and God really has chosen me. When you recognize that, then you recognize the significance of that moment and you put weight on it. Almost to Esther for such a time as this. That's what her uncle told her, her cousin. He said, perhaps God's got you in this position for such a time as this. And you know what he was doing? He was saying, all right, Esther, we've got to honor this moment and honor this opportunity. And when we put a proper weight on it, then we're going to approach it different than all these other concubines. Because he's sitting here, God has placed you here, and you've got favor on your life to save a nation. All these other little old girls that were in this beauty pageant and all this, they're just sitting here thinking, man, I've got an opportunity to be in the king's harem, and I'm going to live on Easy Street from here on out. I ain't got to go pick any crops now. I'll live in the king's palace. They were looking at that. She was looking at something much higher than that. How do we approach life, and how do we approach our calling in life? The axe that God's put in our hand. It talks about the axe being dull in Proverbs. But when we have a sharp axe and we have a skillful hand, then much can be accomplished. What's the axe that God's put in our hand? What's the moment that we're in? I hope we recognize that. I hope we recognize that. Man, God's kiss is on this. God's hand is on this. It's on my life. It's not saying that everything's perfect and everything's smooth and everything's easy. But I know God's hand is on my life. I know His favor's on my life. I know His call's on my life. I knew that before I got saved. Because I shouldn't have made it old enough to marry her. Some of you can say the same thing. Y'all been in wrecks, y'all been in scuffs, y'all been in scrapes, y'all been in, you know, if you've been in the military and you've seen active duty, man, y'all come through some stuff and you're like, man, I shouldn't even be here. I bet I could go around the room and everybody'd have a testimony and say, man, there was this time, you know, there was this time when I did this and I was stupid, you know, under the influence of this or under the influence of that. Just had that stupid gene going on, man. I remember we were down at the lake one time. Mark Wilburn's going off a rope swing, you know, and he landed from the top of a big rope swing in about, really, literally about 3 inches of water. And if he hadn't landed just right, I'm like, man, how did it not break his neck? I don't know if y'all were there that day, but I'm like, dude, you know, and I'm sitting there saying, man, that's just straight up God right there. Because you had that stupid gene going on with you right now. And every one of you guys, I could go around and I bet y'all have a testimony. And you'd say, man, if it wasn't for... Recognize that God has a purpose and recognize that God has a plan. I bet some of y'all guys have got some killer testimonies. Where it's like, shh. You know what that ought to tell you, man? That God has purpose and He has plan and He has calling for me. And if He does, if He deems you that valuable, then you know what you need. If He deems you valuable enough to put that kind of weight on you, let's just talk about salvation for a minute. If He deems me valuable enough to send His, for God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If He deems me valuable enough that He sent His Son to die for me, to shed His blood for me, to go through what He went through to redeem me, then that must be, you know what that means? I'm a pearl of great price. And He did it when I was jacked up. He did it when I was... He didn't do it. He didn't wait till I said, well, I'll start preaching for you, God, and I'll be a good guy. He did it when I was running from Him. You know? Brother, man, we could... Man, your testimony still messes me up. Still messes me up. I know that it was horrific, the stuff that you went through, but yet you can look and see God's hand of protection on your life and navigating you and bringing you from Rwanda through Kenya and through South Africa and coming over to the States. And now here you are in church sitting listening to the Word of God on Wednesday night in Bremen, Georgia. You jump from Waco to Bremen. It's a long way from Crested Butte. But here you are. And you know what that says? That's God saying, I honor you as my son. I honor you as my child. Man, I love the story of what we call the prodigal son. The father never calls him prodigal. He just said, this is my son. And he said, here's my robe and here's my ring and he's getting this. And I don't care what he smells like. I don't care what whores he's been laying with. I don't care that he's been out feeding swine and a good Jew boy don't even get around swine in the old covenant for the sheep vision. He said, I don't care about it. I don't care if he's wasted all of that money. He is my son. And you know what he did? He put a level of honor on his son. He put a level of honor on his son. He esteemed him. He put weight on him. And nothing else mattered in that moment. Nothing else mattered. I believe when he saw him in a distance, I believe the Word says he ran. And he fell on his neck. And he loved him and he kissed him. He recognized and he honored the moment. He honored the opportunity. And David's sitting here and he recognized that God's hand is on me and on my life and on my kingdom. And he said, if God is for me, then how can it be a bad thing that his ark's going to come into Jerusalem? And so he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to figure out how to make this right. I'm going to learn how to properly honor God so that I can stay in his presence and I can stand in his presence and I can host his presence. And so that's where we jump down into chapter 15. Anybody got any comments? I'm sorry, this is supposed to be open forum Bible study. You got anything, babe? Anybody? Y'all good? Everybody good? All right. Speak now. Leah, I know you like to throw it out there. You good? All right. Here we go. Chapter 15. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. And then he starts talking about all of these sons that he came in. Verse 11, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab. And he said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel into the place that I have prepared for it. He said, all right, we've got the right people here. We've got it right way as far as honoring God with the Levites and the priests and all that. But it didn't stop right there. He told him, he says, now go sanctify yourselves. Now go sanctify yourselves. Because you can be the right person but not be in the right frame of mind. You can be the right person but not be in proper alignment with God. Some of you, that's all you need is just a realignment. If my car stays out of alignment wrong, what happens? I ruin tires. And some of us, that's what I need in my life is just a realignment. And I thought I was aligned properly, and God said, let me teach you, and so you'll really know. So that's the journey I'm on right now. And part of that journey, a big part of that journey, is recognizing the significance of the moments and putting honor on them, putting weight on them. And when I do it, you know what it does? It makes the moments great. It makes the moments huge. Because God also puts honor in the moment. Because I've made a big deal out of it. I think tomorrow night we're carrying the grandkids to see Peter Rabbit. I was batching it this weekend, and I contemplated going to the movies by myself Sunday night. But guess what? I didn't say, ooh, that's on, I want to go see that. Peter Rabbit didn't catch my eye. But I've got 5 grandchildren. And we'll probably have 3 of them in tow. 4, we'll have 4 of them in tow. Y'all pray for us, we'll be playing zone defense. But all of a sudden, Peter Rabbit goes from not even a second glance to being a big deal and a significant date night. Do you know why? Because 4 of my grandchildren are placing a high level of honor and weight on Peter Rabbit. I can tell you, I can name characters in the Lego Ninja movie. Gargamon, Lloyd. You know why? Because it's significant to my grandson. Because my grandson placed weight on it. He placed a high value of honor on it. And when he did that, all of a sudden, you know what it did to me? It placed a high level, it became more significant to me. And I want to tell you something, guys. When we start putting a proper weight of honor and value and weight on stuff, that's good stuff. I'm not talking about bad stuff. You can put a level of weight on porn and God's not going to meet you there. I'm talking about good stuff. But when you do that, you know what happens? All of a sudden, it attracts heaven's attention. And heaven said, it is now significant to me because it's significant to them. Y'all feeling what I'm saying tonight?
This weekend, Lisa and I went to Dallas, Texas to celebrate my friend turning 50. And she had a birthday party Saturday night, and then we went to church with them. They're starting a church there. We went to church with them Sunday morning. But as Lisa and I were at the airport, we saw advertised that there's going to be this massive, big rodeo there. And so we're like, ho, 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 yes, we're going to go to the rodeo. And it was at Dallas Cowboys Stadium. And so we took Jen, and she had never been. And Bruce's sister was there, who was from Colorado, and she had never been to anything like that. And so we go in there in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, and they're in, I'm sitting next to Bruce's sister, and the honor guards come out. They're about to do the sing to the flag, and everybody's standing. I said, now watch this. I said, you've never been around Cowboys, so you're going to see honor right now. As soon as that flag come out, every 40, 50,000 people in the stadium, everybody's on their feet, and all those 10-gallon hats, whew, come off. I said, they understand honor. You won't see them taking a knee here tonight. And they honored it, and it was just powerful, tingling situation, you know, just you could just feel the honor in the air. And we stayed there for the whole rodeo, and we're there for Jen, and, you know, we're there at 2:30, and it's a $2 million purse. This is a big, big, big rodeo. And about 6 o'clock, it's time for the bull riding to come on. And I look down, and Jen's playing Candy Crush on her phone. And she said, we're going to leave in 5 minutes. I'm like, what? It's about to be the bull ride. You know, this is what we've waited for 4 hours for. This is the Christine, you know, this is it. So we talked her into staying for the bull ride, but then they had to go through the top 4. So it's going to be about another hour and a half. And she was ready to go. And we're like, we're here to honor her. It's her birthday. We left. We didn't call Uber. Me and Lisa looked at each other and we're like, we can call Uber. And I went, no, it was her weekend. And we honored her and we left. And sometimes we're going to do things to show honor that we may not feel like doing. That was just a small example. But going to take the grandkids, you know, and in that I had joy going back with her. We went back and had an evening together and played cards and had fun with her. It was fun. But there's going to be times when we do show honor when we're going to be laying down some of our wants and some of our desires to show that person, I truly do honor you. And that same way with God. Sometimes he's going to tell us to lay down some of our wants and some of our desires. And in doing that, he's got a better plan for us. He will show it. If we give up our rights, so to speak, in America, and give it to God, he's going to honor that.
And that's a great point. That's a great point. Great illustration on that. What we have to do is we have to place the weight and the honor on, I'm part of something that's bigger than I am. And in that, a lot of times my wants, my desire, my will, they die. Okay? That's the powerful thing about the brotherhood in the military. Is the military, for the most part, has a great understanding that I'm a part of a brotherhood that is way more significant than my individuality. And that's why the no man left behind. That's why I'll die for my brother that's next to me. That's why that feeling is there. You know, because you recognize that I'm part of something bigger than I am, and I'm fighting something for something bigger than I am. At least that really used to be the way it is, and I know there's a lot of military that's still the way it is. But you know, it's a thing of, man, our flag's in the side room right now, but I'm defending that, and I'm fighting for that. I'm not burning that, you know, and I'm putting a level of weight and honor and respect on that stuff. And when we do that, yeah, sometimes my wants, sometimes my desires, sometimes I have to come in second. You know, I've kidded TW now about Ricky Bobby and Cal Naughton, you know, the other day. You know, y'all watch Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby? Y'all know it by heart. What did Cal Naughton always do? He let Ricky Bobby draft him. Because he understood this is my role and this is my position, and I'm going to help him and I'm going to undergird him, and I'm going to let him draft me until it comes down to then, and then I'm going to let him slingshot me. You know, and I'm cool with this shake and bake thing, you know, and we're winning. When Ricky won, he felt like I won. And sometimes that's the way it is in life, and sometimes that's the way it is in kingdom. When we put proper honor on the proper things, you know. Jesus said, unless a grain of corn or a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it cannot bring forth any more fruit. But when it does, it can bring forth much fruit. That's what he did on Calvary's cross, guys. And sometimes that's what my life's got to look like. Is myself dies. And my ambitions die. Because what God will do is God will replace it. He said, take my yoke on you. Take my burden on you because it's easy and light. And I'll take your heavy stuff. I'll take your junk. And I'll trump it with something that's better. And when I get lost in kingdom life, then I find that's His plan for me is way bigger and better than the plan I originally had for myself. Because I think, here's the thing, guys. We think God's holding out on us. We think that my plan and my idea for my life trumps His. And that somehow He's holding out on me. And my job is to convince Him to give me my best life. And if we would understand that His plan is so much higher for my life than my plan, His desire for mine, I promise you, and you can ask any parent in here, I promise you that my dreams and my plan and my desire for my children and my grandchildren is higher than what theirs are. I believe in her more than she believes in herself. And if she didn't have children, she'd probably say, bull crap. But she's got three kids now. And so she knows exactly what I'm talking about. You believe in Sydney Hannah more than Sydney Hannah. I know she's pretty confident and cocky and all that stuff. I mean, you know, I dig it. But you believe in her more than she believes in herself. I guarantee you believe in Zealand more than he believes in himself. Brett, you believe in Zealand more than he believes in himself right now. Y'all went rock climbing the other day, and I said, man, how's he doing? He said, well, he's getting more confident and all that stuff. You saw it all along. You're like, oh, dude, you can do that. You can accomplish this. Father God's the same way in our life, guys. It's the same way. And it's for us. It's up to us. David had this aha moment in chapter 14. He said, man, God's with me. God's for me. That's when we come to a place of salvation. I don't have to convince anybody that they're sinners. Everybody knows that. The day Brett House got saved down here years ago, 16, 17 years ago, good testimony. Great testimony. Cocaine in his system. The day while he was in the altar getting saved, still had cocaine in his system. I didn't have to convince he was a sinner. He just had to come to the revelation that God is for me and that he loves me and he died for me. And when he came to that revelation, then all of a sudden he put weight on that moment and said, man, what can I do? He couldn't get to God fast enough. If I've got to convince you to turn your life toward God and let God come in and move in your life, you're not at that point yet. I remember the day I got saved, I couldn't wait for the preacher to shut up. I don't remember what he was preaching. I do not remember a word, but I remember every detail about that day. But I can't tell you a word he preached. I just remember that whole feeling, I got to get to that altar. I got to get to that altar. I got to get to that altar. And dude, as soon as they stood up, it wasn't no everybody eye closed and, you know, and all this stuff and everything. It was just like, dude, let me get down there quick. Because I came to that realization that God was for me. Even in my hypocritical self, God was for me. Even in my religious self, God was for me. And David came to this, and all of a sudden he put weight on the moment. Then he put weight on everything moving forward. That's the beauty of this story to me, is he put weight on everything moving forward. First thing he did, he said, let's figure out what we did wrong. I guarantee you, he got some scribes to go back in and say, let's study the Pentateuch. Let's study the books of Moses. And they went back and they studied Deuteronomy and they studied Numbers and they studied Leviticus. And they said, man, this is where we messed up right here. This is how God said he wanted to usher all of this in. And so he came in. And I'm not sitting here dogging David out because David didn't know that. God, so much of ours is we don't know, even though we've been in church our whole life, we still don't know. The Word says his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I just want to be on the journey to understand. I want to be on the journey to know. I want to be on the journey to learn. That's what he wants for all of us. And so David started this thing. Let me see what time it is. Got 6 minutes. We're golden tonight. We're doing good. 13, for because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. He said, man, we didn't do it right, and so God brought judgment on us. So in verse 14 it said, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bare the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries, harps, cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. He said, guys, this is a weighty moment. Let's put weight on this moment. Let's put honor on this moment. This is an opportunity to bring the ark of God into our capital city. Let's seize that moment. Let's seize that moment. Let's seize the moment. Seize the moment. It's opportunity. The Word says, call on the Lord while he's near. Right? We think that God's going to toil with us until we take our last breath of air, but that's not promised in the Word. I've always kind of spent my life coming through trying to balance somewhat in trips and finances and all of that, and I hadn't always done a good job with it because I love to travel and go places and do stuff and all that. But the excuse, but also truth in this that I've always used is, well, the girls are only going to be 7 once. You know? I want to teach them to ski when they're 3. I don't want to wait until they're 23. It's a lot harder. And then you miss all them glorious years, you know. My 7-year-old granddaughter, we were talking the other day, and she said something about scuba diving because we're going down to the Caymans, and we're all of us are certified and all that stuff. And I was telling her, you know, she could get snorkel with the stingrays and all of this stuff, and she was, you know, excited about it and talking about how cool it was and all that. And I said, she said something about scuba diving. I said, now, when you're 10, you can get certified. So now all of a sudden there's this weighty thing on the fact that when I get 10, I am of age where I can get certified. There's a certain weight that's attached to it. Okay? You know what that'll do? When we are down there and we are snorkeling and looking at all of these tropical fish and the stingrays and the sea turtles and all of that stuff right now, you know what, this summer, you know what she's going to do? She's going to sit there and she's going to be dreaming and putting weight on the day when she can go down 60 foot deep and see the moray eels and all of that stuff. You see how that heightens the hope. When I put weight on the moment now, and I put weight on an expected end, on an expected end, the Word said, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. You know what He did? He put weight on the moment, and He put weight on the future. He honored the moment, and He honored the future. When He was going through it in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Because He knew what He was about to endure. He said, nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done, because of the joy that was set before Him. Because He could sit there, and Randy, in that moment, and the Word says that the angels came and ministered to Him, but also in that moment, He could look over there, and He could see Peter and James, and He could see John, and you know what John said about himself? He said He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And He could see them, and He said, man, it's worth it for them. And so all of a sudden, He starts putting weight. He puts honor even in a dark moment. We can put honor in a dark moment. We can put honor in a dark moment for the joy that's set before us. And so I see David doing all of this. They bring this thing in. It is so significant. It is so significant. Not only did they get the right people, but they got the skillful people. They said this one guy that they picked for song, he was a Levite. He had to be a Levite. But you know why they picked him? It said right here, I got it underlined, because he was skillful. Sharpen our axe. Let's sharpen our axe. Two words that we really need to think about eliminating are good and good enough. I heard the conversation you were having today. I agree with you, Brett. Good's the worst enemy of best. This guy was chosen because he was skillful. He was a Levite, and he was anointed, but he was also skillful. The ones that David carried in with him, his mighty men, the ones that he set over the captain and all of this stuff, you know who they were? They were the ones that were skillful. I want to be skillful in every aspect of my life. I want to be skillful on my farm. I want to be skillful in my hobbies. I do. Every hobby I do, I want to be skillful in it. The Word would say almost to a fault, but I'm sorry. I want to be that in business. Because I recognize God's kiss is on all of these things. I certainly want to do it in kingdom. It's amazing to me that we'll come in and we'll want to be skillful in all the world stuff, but we don't want to be skillful in the house. Guys will be amazingly skillful out there world, and they'll come in the house and they'll be the most slothful people you've ever seen in the house of God. And they don't want to step up and they don't want to do anything. They just want to come in and sit down and say, feed me, feed me, feed me. Sing that song I like, Regina. Preach a good fresh word, see it. Don't disappoint me today. How sharp is your axe? How sharp is your axe? And so David's coming in, and they're doing all this stuff. And it's amazing. And the ark's ushered into Jerusalem. The presence of God's abiding there. David so recognized the moment, he got super generous. You say, it's easy to be generous when you're a king. I think generosity is a spirit, and some of the most generous people I know are people that don't have anything. But they'll open up their heart and they'll open up their home and they will share a meal and they will share love and they will share laughter. So don't think I'll get generous when I get wealthy. Because if you're not generous when you're poor, I promise you, you won't be generous when you're wealthy. But David recognized the moment, and it said that he gave everybody in Israel, every household in Israel, this guy is giving them a goodly meat of flesh. I've heard some said a side of beef or lamb. A flagon of wine. I still don't know how much a flagon of wine is, but I heard one preacher say it's probably enough to get a good buzz off of it. You know, crack, don't get religious on me now. Some of y'all got tight when I said that. He said, but I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless him good. The master of the feast said, Jesus done brought the best stuff out. Y'all done saved the best for last. I'm going to be skillful in what I do. And David got this spirit of generosity that was already in him and already stirring in him. And he blessed the whole nation. You know what he did? He recognized the opportunity of the moment. He could have said, this is too expensive. We're talking about us feeding the FCA's the way we do. And we try to go over the top, you know, with the Chick-fil-A biscuits and all of that stuff. And we'll sit in leadership meetings and we'll look at how much it costs every month to do the FCA's and all that. And we're kind of like, whew. I hope it's twice that. That means we're feeding twice as many kids. And you say, well, you just give them a biscuit. They could have stopped at Jack's on their own and all that. And their truck got it and all that. They did, but 12 of them got saved last week at Harrelson County. 12 of them got saved last week. Maybe the spirit of generosity can stir in that a little bit. I'm out of time. You know who else we could have talked about? About 30 other people in the Bible. You know what Ruth did? She put weight on the fact that she was gleaning in Boaz's field because he was a kinsman redeemer. She honored the opportunity. She honored the opportunity. She put weight on the opportunity. You know what it did? It captured Boaz's attention. He's like, who is this girl? I'm sure she was attractive, but I bet she wasn't slothful. And she found favor. But if she had not honored and put weight on the opportunity, if she had not honored and put weight on the moment, how did Mary Magdalene know that Jesus had risen from the tomb? She was the first one there. You know why she was the first one there, brother? Because she had purposed in her heart, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to anoint his body. And I'm going to put spices on it and I'm going to take care of it because it didn't get properly done in the hurry on the crucifixion. And so we're going to do this thing right. And so she put honor on the opportunity and honor on the moment. She said, I appreciate the tomb. And I appreciate the guy going and getting Jesus off the cross and pleading with Pilate for his body and all of that stuff and providing his tomb. I appreciate that. But she said, I want to put honor on him because of the way I knew him. The way he redeemed me. And I can put honor on him the way this other guy can't put honor on him. Here's what I want you to get. And I want to leave this with you. In my life, okay? You know that little phrase, do you? You know, I've heard y'all use that phrase some, do you? Let me tell you something about doing you. In my life, I can put honor on the Lord like none of y'all can put on the Lord. You know why? Because my relationship with Him, my salvation, my forgiveness is unique to me. That day I got saved, there was 150 other people in there and they didn't feel what I felt that day. They didn't cry like I cried that day. They didn't have a weight lifted off them like I had lifted off me that day. So in my life, I can put a weight on every opportunity that's in front of me that you can't put on that. If you saw me at the movies tomorrow night, you'd say, oh, that's cool. That granddaddy's out there with his four little old grandkids. But that's about all the weight you'd put on it. It would be, that's cool. But because it's my life and because it's what's in front of me, I put a heavier weight on it. I can mourn the stuff that you've gone through, brother, but not like you. But not like you. And God's mercy and God's grace is fresher and newer on you through that than it would be through me, even though I'm praying for you from afar. You see what I'm saying on that? So you can do you and put weight on it. You put weight on your life because it means something to you. Because it's significant to you. It was significant to David, but it was significant to a nation of Israel also. So when you come in here Sunday, you do you and you put weight on it, Rick, like nobody else does, because the way He redeemed you, the way He saved you, the way He set you free, the way He spared your life, the way He's watched over you, the way He brought you from Rwanda, the killing fields of Rwanda, to Bremen, Georgia on February 28, 2018, brother. Do you and honor the moment because God brought you to this place. And I'm not talking about just His house. I'm talking about this moment in time. Because you shouldn't be here. And brother, you shouldn't be here. We've talked. I know your testimony. I know your story. Some of it, parts of it. I know enough that God's mercy and God's grace shouldn't be as powerful and as real as it is right now. You should have negated that through all them years of crazy living. That should have defaulted from everything, forfeited everything. But here you are. And I've seen you weep before the Lord. And I've seen you cry out before Him in the altar. And you know what? God is here and God cares about you and God's got a plan for you and your life. I know you're trying to figure out, man, am I going to move to Seattle or am I going to go here, or Portland or wherever it is you told me you think about doing all this, or back to Asheville? Wherever it is, do you but honor and put weight on the opportunity and the moment that's in front of you. And when you do that, it attracts heaven. When you do that, it attracts heaven. When you do that, it attracts heaven. But when you come through and you're like, man, I hate this life and I hate this job and I hate where I'm at and I hate this and I hate this, you know what you're attracting? Whew, death. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. And do you in a way of honor. Do you in a way of weight. And when them little grandbabies cry out, gaga, recognize the weight of the moment. Recognize the weight of the moment. Recognize the weight of the moment. Amen. Stand to our feet, guys. Whew. Man, I don't know where everybody's at tonight. But I will say this. I believe everybody's in a unique opportunity tonight. The reason I say that you're in a unique opportunity tonight is because you're here. And I know His presence is here because the Word says, where two or more gathered in My name, there I'll be in the midst. And you may have not done it right in the past, but I want to tell you something. David didn't do it right in 1 Chronicles 13, but he got it right in 1 Chronicles 15. And God changed his life. His trajectory changed, totally changed. And today your trajectory can change. Today your mindset can change. Today your outlook can change. It can change. It can change. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to me. So, man, if anybody needs to just spend some time in the altar and just come down, and if you can sing, if you can hit some Rick Pino or something like that, just kind of low, just come spend some time with the Lord, man. He just wants to meet you here. He just wants to meet you here. You're not encountering me, and you're not encountering Victory Fellowship Church. But you're encountering the God that loves you and the God that cares for you and the God that died for you, man. That's who you're encountering tonight. So y'all just come on down. Father God, we just thank You for this evening. We thank You for the beauty of Your Word. We thank You for the weight that You put on our lives, the honor that You put on our lives. And as You said, that's My children created in My image. And Father, I pray we would recognize the significance of each moment. We would recognize the significance of each moment in our life. And we would seize the moment. We would seize the opportunity. And God, we would do it in a way that's pleasing to You. And Father, just draw and move. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.